Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What if the problem isn't that we think too little, but that we think too much? In today's episode, engineer, philosopher, systems thinker Chet Shoup challenges one of the modern civilization's core assumptions that reason should rule our lives. He argues that for most of human history, emotional intelligence guided our relationships, communities, and sense of belonging until language, laws, and systems quietly pushed it aside. Chet explores how this shift may be at the root of our modern disconnection, shame, and spiritual unrest, and why rediscovering emotional wisdom might be the key to healing. If you've ever felt that something essential has been lost in the modern world, this conversation will give you a new way to see yourself and humanity. Back with us on This Week in America, Chet Shoup, author of How the Rational Mind Repressed the Emotional Mind into Submission Once We Got the Spoken Word. Chet, a pleasure to have you back on the program today.
Nice to be here, Rick.
Chet was with us talking about his other book, Rediscovering the Wisdom of Human Nature, How Civilization Destroys Happiness. Both books available. We'll give you that information and Chet's website as we go through our conversation. This is really good stuff. This is information here. Many of us have probably given it some thought, but really didn't know where to go with it or how to find out more information. What was the inspiration for writing this book? Where did this idea come from?
Well, I suffered from severe attention deficit disorder for over half my life. At the age of 43, it was diagnosed and treated with Ritalin. And for the first time in my life, things came into focus. Things made sense. Well, so I started with this miracle happening to my life. I decided that I wanted to write about brain dysfunction, to provide a conceptual network or a conceptual reference for medically treating the brain. So maybe it's this, a lot of people suffer from ADD, so maybe they could have my experience.
Yes.
Well, when I got into it, my profession is electronics engineer. And in that profession, I'm well versed in system control theory. And system control theory tells us something, and that you can't control the future. There's too many interdependent variables. And I begin to realize that maybe the reason so many of us suffer from various things we call emotional problems isn't due to brain dysfunction. It is due to cultural dysfunction. Because we now live in a world in which we comply with laws, all with the idea that if everyone is true to the law, if we're all good and we're not evil, well, then we will reach the promised land. Well, problem is that's the nature, that's going against the laws of nature.
Yes.
Life is a process we participate in. It's not something we fix. And we've been trying to fix it. And so my subject went from brain dysfunction to cultural dysfunction. And so this book is basically about cultural dysfunction that comes from thinking that we can create a bunch of well-intended rules and end up with some future, at some future place that we have in mind.
The book.
So that's, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, the book is How the Rational Mind Repressed the Emotional Mind into Submission Once We Got the Spoken Word. Our guest is Chet Shoup, back on the program. That's S-H-U-P-E. Book is available wherever books are sold. His website is spiritualfreedompress.com. And if you go to our website, you'll be able to link on there. It really a shift as you get started. It's interesting. You start off with one approach and then giving it some thought, you shift to another. What would you say is the central argument, the central thesis you're presenting to us in this book?
Well, we'll take a look to explain why human behave the way they do. I developed a brain diagram, and if you check out that diagram, you will find that along the right-hand side of it, you'll find emotional intelligence, intellectual intelligence, and consciousness. Well, the theme behind the whole book is that before humans started social contracting, emotional intelligence had total control over human behavior. Emotional intelligence governed us. In other words, it told us what to do and what not to do. Because when we did what we felt was right, we experienced contentment as a reward. And when we did what we felt wrong, we felt guilty, and it made us hard to live with ourselves. So all of the rewards and punishments that are required for life to be a self-sustaining process have evolved, and they're expressed through feelings, through emotional intelligence, grounded in wisdom that has been accumulating since the first stirrings of life on Earth. Now, when humans got language, that enabled us to do something that had never been done on Earth before. And that is to create imagined futures in our minds. And we didn't know that emotional intelligence existed. We just behaved naturally. We didn't realize that a third of our genetic code was devoted to the wisdom that it requires for an animate being to behave naturally. So when we decided to make these good intended rules to reach at this future in which there was no more killing, everything was fair, just, we thought we were doing good. Unfortunately, at that point, our intellectual intelligence unknowingly repressed our emotional intelligence. Because all of a sudden, if we weren't obeying these rules by which we were hoping to get to the promised land, then we'd lose our civil rights. We would no longer have permission to live on this planet. And so that's how it took over. And there is no evil. There's no ill intent. I mean, we thought we were doing a good thing.
Yes.
I mean, just for an example, we are social primates. We bond in social groups. There's no record in the fossil record that humans ever lived alone or as mating in pairs. But men decided, I'm sure they thought they were doing something to make life better when they decided to own women through the sacrament of marriage. And so we have been pretending that we're a pair-bonding species ever since. And that causes a lot of suffering.
The book really touches on so many levels. The book by Chet Shoup, Shupe, is How the Rational Mind Repressed the Emotional Mind into Submission Once We Got the Spoken Word. Some people would say, but this advancement that you're talking about is civilization. Are you saying civilization is a mistake?
Well, you know, that's for other people to decide.
Okay.
You know, first of all, everything I'm saying is a proposition. I don't know the future or the truth more than anyone else does. But if someone looks at my brain model and they say, gee, this makes sense, whether they decide civilization is a mistake or not, well, I guarantee they'll have a whole new way of looking at things, whole new perspective from, and hopefully we'll decide, hey, maybe I'm not to blame, or maybe my wife's not to blame, or my boss, maybe, maybe the problem is outside of us, that we aren't the cause of all this. We, something happened that we just didn't understand.
Yes. People who have read the book have talked about they see themselves differently after reading the book. They see themselves differently. They see the world differently with new eyes. Was that the intent in writing this, to get people to think and maybe sort out some of these issues that have been plaguing them for a number of years?
Well, that wasn't the intent, but I'm real pleased when people say that, because the intent is that I had suffered a lot in my life. At this point, I don't think ADD was my problem. If I'd lived in intimate culture, I think I'd have been quite normal. It's just that when we now live in a world in which each of us have to make it on our own, or we're proclaimed, or we will see ourselves as not good enough. Well, when we realize how the process of life really works, and we understand that in the natural world, when we're being true to our emotional intelligence, means being true to our feelings, no human ever. The idea of having to make it on your own would have been the most horrible thing that could happen. No, your brothers and your sisters were your security. They were your purpose. They were everything. And now we're living without them, and we're having to fulfill all those emotional needs by realizing personal ambitions and through beliefs in this, that, or something else. And that's a very artificial way to live. And that's a painful way to live. And so I wrote the book because there was so much pain going on. And I thought, I feel that if we could get back to being true to who nature made us, that would reduce the pain. That was what in my mind throughout it. It had nothing to do with right or wrong, righteousness or evil.
Yes.
It's just that we are suffering, and it's all because we're misinformed.
Chet's book is available wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to his website, spiritualfreedompress.com. Links for that as Amazon page, for example, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book argues that emotional intelligence once guided our species. What did that guidance look like before the rise of civilization? It's sort of hard to imagine what it was like before civilization took over. What was that like when all we had was emotional intelligence?
Well, we now call it Eden.
Ah, yes.
See, the difference between Eden and the civilized world is that in Eden there was no good and evil. There was no cause to blame. Everyone did the best that they could. Wasn't perfect. It wasn't ideal. They still had all kinds of problems to overcome. But everyone did the best that they could, and they had no reason to think that others weren't doing the same. And in this world, if we don't pass the test of righteousness, we see ourselves as inadequate before God or whatever. We live in shame. We are ashamed of our feelings, because our feelings would have us go against what's good, and we would be condemned in our own eyes and in the eyes of the people around us. So I don't want for people to think that Eden Now, in Eden, they didn't have anything except contentment. I mean, they were being true to the process of life in their relationships with the people around them. And life rewards us with contentment when we're true to it. When we have to comply with rules or whatever, with the best of intentions. But those rules are telling us to do things that are destructive to the process, then we are rewarded, then we are punished with discontent. And so the difference between Eden and this world, well, in this world we have all kinds of material advantages that Eden didn't have, but we don't have contentment. Eden, they didn't have anything other than each other, and they lived in a state of contentment.
Contentment is an interesting word, one of the concepts that Chet talks about in his book. Another that he's mentioned several times is we have this ability to imagine the future. We all see ourselves from a young age where we want to be at an older age where we hope that we will get to eventually. How did the rational mind's ability to imagine futures make us vulnerable to abandoning our natural emotional guidance? How did that happen?
Well, you see, the future is inherently unknowable. But we didn't know that. And the other thing we didn't know that we had emotional intelligence, which by being true to it, we experienced contentment. We had no way to know that. And so when you can imagine the things you're going to need in the future, you're going to need relationships, you're going to need a place to live, you're going to need things to do, it was the most natural thing on earth for us to start creating laws, organizing ourselves around systems of laws so that we would be assured of security in the unknowable future. Well, it all happened very innocently, and that is the tragedy of it. I mean, if people had intentionally been doing evil, well, I guess that'd be one thing, but there was no bad intention involved. We just didn't know that emotional intelligence existed, so I guess one way you could look at, sometimes the way I look at what I'm trying to do is introduce to the world that emotional intelligence exists. And it is a reference for everything of value.
And we will touch on that in a second. The diagram that Chet talked about, I want to touch on that before we conclude our interview today. The book is available, again, wherever books are sold. Before I get to that, some people think, you know, to fix our problems, I look to better leaders. I look to better institutions. That's where we will find the fix for the problems that are plaguing society. You argue otherwise. Why? That's looking, in your mind, in the wrong direction.
See, all those institutions, education, everything, we're trying to fix life, trying to fix what's wrong. Well, life isn't something you can fix. It is a process that is always in a state of change. I mean, if you could fix life, it would destroy the process. Then emotionally, we'd have nothing to do. It'd be like an old cog. Well, but if you look at that diagram, the big heart-shaped object, which says emotional intelligence, it dominates that diagram. And as civilized people, we have been functioning for thousands of years as if emotional intelligence does not exist. As if a good part of that brain diagram doesn't exist. And The only thing I want, it's no one's fault. I mean, the whole thing is innocent. And if we start, then we'll start realizing how we bonded as social primates. You go out and look at any social primate, a female bond is the core of the family. The males are there to protect and support the females and the female's children. And if we understand that it's into those informal relationships that we can find contentment, that emotional intelligence will reward us with contentment. You know, I don't know what's possible and what isn't. It won't be easy. But if we start, if we are properly informed, and by the way, I can't promise you anything I said is properly informed. It's just an idea that I come up with. It makes sense to me. And whether anyone else gets meaning out of it, it'll depend on whether it makes sense to them. If it don't make sense to you, well, fine. You might be right. I don't know. I'm not putting myself up as a reference for truth. I am tired of the whole notion of truth. The way it works in Eden, if it feels right, do it. If it don't feel right, don't do it. And let everything fall out from there.
You tap into your emotional intelligence. And if you look at the diagram that Chet has in his book, you will see the flow of everything. And it's very instrumental in what Chet is talking about. A few minutes left in the program. I know he's got some reflections. We're going to end the program with that. But before we get there, talk about what it means to rediscover emotional wisdom in the modern world. First of all, is it possible to rediscover emotional wisdom in the modern world?
Well, I hope, yeah, it's possible to rediscover it, but it's not possible to comply with it. I mean, I'm still living as if I'm not being true to my emotional intelligence. Because in order to be true to my emotional intelligence, I would have to be supported by an informal family. I mean, 30 or 40 people who are trusting their lives to each other.
Yes.
Without record keeping, without separate bank accounts and things like that. Well, so despite what I think I know about being true to life, my behavior, I'm not, my behavior don't reflect it. Our behavior can only reflect it when we have informal relationships, because that emotional intelligence, that's the only place it's got control. When people are living in the moment, if anyone's living in for the future, like if one of those people had a personal bank account, well, that, He's not trusting his life to the human spirit. And, well,
it's all so well laid out. How Chet, a fascinating story, how he came up with this concept and looking. Yes, finish that thought.
But let me say one thing. I'll tell you where a real informal family starts. It starts when a number of girls form lifetime bonds on a school playground somewhere. I'm just hoping that if we really understand what our emotional intelligence wants from us, when those girls get childbearing age, instead of getting married so that their children are legitimate in the eyes of God, they'll hang out together for the rest of their lives to support each other in creating a village, if you say, a family, in which to take care of each other and their children. And the men will come around and support them. And we'll find out who nature made up. in that support.
An interesting concept, and all brought to life in Chet's book, How the Rational Mind Repressed the Emotional Mind into Submission Once We Got the Spoken Word. We've got a few minutes left in the program. Chet, I know you've got some reflections, something you'd like to leave us with as we conclude the conversation today. If you would, sir, go ahead and share that with us.
Thank you. This is a short deal. At the end of the book, it's called A Reflection on the Journey. I'm going to read the first couple of paragraphs and the last couple. It says, now that you've reached the end of this book, I want to offer a brief reflection on the path we've traveled together. What you have just read is not a theory about human nature, nor a critique of civilization for its own sake. It is an attempt to trace how we, as a species, drifted away from the emotional intelligence that once guided us, and how that drift has shaped the world we now inhabit. The central idea is simple. Human beings are born with an emotional intelligence designed to serve life. It evolved over millions of years to reward what sustains a species and to warn us against what harms it. For most of our history, this emotional wisdom guided our relationships, our communities, and our sense of belonging. We also looked at the brain as a dynamic system, one in which emotional intelligence, intellectual intelligence, and consciousness each play distinct roles. Because emotional intelligence worked beneath conscious awareness, we never knew we were being guided, which made us vulnerable to the promise of imagined futures. When emotional intelligence is suppressed, life loses its orientation. It becomes directionless, and suffering, even bewilderment, follows. If there is a single message I hope you carry with you, it is this. Our emotional nature is not a flaw to be managed. It is the source of our belonging, our contentment, our humanity, the wellspring of meaning itself. The recovery of our species will not come from better leaders, better institutions, or more sophisticated rules, but from rediscovering the emotional wisdom that once guided us, and from trusting the human spirit to know what life requires. Regaining our trust in the wisdom of human nature is the issue that's now at hand. And that trust, as that trust is regained, how it forms will be guided by the Spirit itself. Thank you for taking this journey with me. May it help us remember what our souls have always known. Thank you.
Chet, thank you. It's always a pleasure to have you with us on the program. The other book that Chet was on and talked about is available, Rediscovering the Wisdom of Human Nature, How Civilization Destroys Happiness. This book we're talking about, the book is How the Rational Mind Repressed the Emotional Mind into Submission Once We Got the Spoken Word. People are reading it. They find a new way to see themselves and humanity. It's a very impactful book. You will find it wherever books are sold. Chet's website is spiritualfreedompress.com. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, for his Amazon page and his website as well. Chet, always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
It is always a pleasure, always a thought-provoking program. Today was no exception. Chet Shoup, our guest, if you're Googling, C-H-E-T-S-H-U-P-E. Let me do it again.
Be careful there.
Yes, C-H-E-T-S-H-U-P is the correct spelling. If you're Googling, go to our website, take you directly to get information on Chet as well. You're listening to This Week in America, And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.